The book of Acts is indeed a wonderful book. And this morning, the words for us come from the second book, the second chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all gathered together in one place, suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, a crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it then that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and upon your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your older men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, for their claim upon our lives, for the directing of our lives and our world. Give us rest, O God, from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O God, may they be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Old farmers know that there is something good about burning their fields. It's good for the soil. Fires can move across an area, and yet if you go back within a few days, you'll see that already there are green sprouts shooting up all over the place. It's my understanding that there are some pine cones that lie dormant for years until a forest fire comes through and those cones hit a certain temperature and then those seeds will begin to germinate. Some burning, some adversity might be good for us as well. If only we could periodically burn away the weeds that are choking out those virtues in our lives, if only we could periodically torch the sins in the undergrowth of our hearts, then perhaps we might be better enabled to become who God has created and intended us to be. Friendly fires create fertilizer, strengthen the root systems, and remove the debris on the top of the ground that gets in the way for healthy and vigorous growth. Isn't that really what we want and desire in our own faith? Isn't there something to create spiritual fertilizer with appropriate and helpful nutriments, strengthening our roots and removing debris that gets in the way for our own spiritual growth and development? What in the world could it be? Today, Pentecost, we can call it the friendly fire of the Holy Spirit. Available then and remains available to us yet today. The Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost to start the church, and flaming tongues of fire resting upon the heads of men and women, illuminating their minds and their spirits as this first great gift was showered upon the church, that all those in the city of Jerusalem might hear in their native languages the good news and the deeds of Almighty God. You see, the friendly fire of God's Spirit can indeed burn away that undergrowth and that debris in our lives that holds us back from developing and growing and allowing that new life to appear. We can have our souls renewed, our lives enlivened and given new life, our worship empowered by God's Spirit, if we will allow this cleansing fire of Almighty God to burn within each and every one of us. We need the presence of God's Holy Spirit in order that we can be healthy Christians, to be a healthy church. Like our lands and our forests need these friendly fires. I remember the times when we were living up in Kane and would be driving through the Allegheny National Forest and signs would be out, caution, controlled burning going on, where the firefighters would be out in the fields, in the forests, as those controlled burns were burning, because they knew that if they allowed that debris to accumulate, that when those fires did occur, that they would be hotter, that they would burn more and do more damage than good. And all we need to do is look in our own country and realize that deprived of fire, that woodland landscapes from New York's Adirondacks to Washington's Olympic Peninsula, that areas have undergone drastic change because we have not allowed those fires to occur. Once grassy clearings are now clogged up by trees. Swamps have filled in with vegetation and have dried up the open area under the tree canopy known as the understory is clogged up by thick masses of accumulations of vegetation and dead trees. They say it's just possible that our spirits might feel closed up, dried up, and clogged up as well. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because Jesus Christ sends the power of God's Spirit to cleanse, to renew, and to make whole. And that promise is that it doesn't have to be some great event in history or time, but it can happen each and every day as our feet hit the floor, that the presence of God's Holy Spirit is a gift with that cleansing fire that seeks to change our lives every single day. Maybe, though, it's that fear of change that hinders us. Maybe it's that fear of change that stops us. And perhaps that's where we need to take a risk. To take that leap of faith, to take that step, to jump into something that is new and something that is dangerous, to perhaps make ourselves a little unsettled and a little uncomfortable, to feel the fire of God's Holy Spirit, to allow it to burn away all of that junk and that garbage that is accumulated spiritually within our lives. So may we leap blindly into God's friendly cleansing flame. This adversity, this challenge, this stuff that is new can be and will be good and healthy for our souls and our spirits. May we take a leap. May we open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to God's Spirit that we might be cleansed and made whole. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for this day, for the celebration of your Spirit, of your words and deeds being proclaimed to the world, the curiosity of those who hear. Oh God, it is our hope and our prayer that your Spirit would rest fresh and new upon each and every one of us, that we might go forth into the world to share and proclaim your good deeds, the presence of Christ to the world. For it's in Christ's name that we go. Amen.